Okay, so I'll continue with a little light relief from anti-de-Sitter space and talk about chiral supersymmetric gauge theories from D-brains. This is work done in collaboration with Carl Landsteiner and Esperanza Lopez that has appeared in these two e-prints. So let me begin with a little motivation and outline. We've seen over the last couple of years we can learn much about the non-perturbative information in gauge theories using their realization via D-brains. And the picture I want you to have in mind for most of the talk is based on this example described by Witten, where we have some system, some set of parallel D4 brains, which gives us an SUN gauge theory in four dimensions. And with these NS5 brains on the ends, that breaks the supersymmetry down to N equals 2. So when we lift this up to M theory, we can view this as just a single M theory 5 brain wrapped around some Riemann surface. And that Riemann surface turns out to be the Seiberg-Witten curve of the N equals 2 gauge theory. So by generalizing this kind of construction, we've actually been able to find many new curves that describe the Coulomb branch of a variety of N equals 2 gauge theories with various matter content. So another thing you can do with this picture is to break down to N equals 2 supersymmetry. And one way to do that is just by rotating these five brains on the end with respect to each other. So for this case, we would get some SUN N equals 1 gauge theory. So this kind of system was discussed quite a bit at the last strings conference, and we saw we could recover Seiberg duality from this kind of configuration just by moving the brains around. And also one could construct curves describing the exact moduli space of some of these N equals 1 theories. However, an outstanding problem from last year was how you can how you get a chiral matter content via such a brain construction. Now, one approach to getting chiral matter was followed by Licken, Poppitz, and Trivedi, where they looked at D-brains at orbifold singularities. And you can find various N equals 1 theories that way and get their curves. However, another way of doing it that we looked at was to instead introduce an orientifold plane and a set of D6 brains that end on one of the Nouveau-Schwarz 5 brains. So it turned out this gave us a particularly interesting chiral theory. That's one of the few chiral theories known that has a Seiberg dual. So we found this this brain construction for this chiral theory, and these two other groups also discussed this example. So this turns out to be a deformation of a model previously considered just within the field theory context by Introligator, Lee, and Strassler. So more recently in our second paper, we constructed the curve that describes this brain configuration. And there's been related work on this by Park as well. So along the way, we also constructed many related non-chiral n equals 1 theories, and also some new curves for n equals 2 gauge theories. So here I just list some of the things we found. I won't have time to describe all this today, but I'll just focus on a few of the highlights. So for example, we found the curves for n equals 2 SUN gauge theory with a symmetric flavor and some number of fundamental flavors. And we can put arbitrary masses for all of these flavors. And then by rotating these n equals 2 curves, we get the related n equals 1 theories, again with massive 2-index tensor fields and massive fundamentals. And as an application of the use of these curves, you can, for example, understand the Higgsing of these n equals 1 theories geometrically by looking at how the curve intersects with some dn singularity, which then gets blown up. Okay, so here's the basic brain configuration for this chiral theory. I've only been able to plot 6 dimensions on the transparency, so that'll give you hopefully a clear picture of what's going on. We have this orientifold 6 plane in red, which gives us a mirror plane. Running through that are some number of D4 brains. And then we have 2 outer 5 brains on the ends, which are rotated by some angle with respect to each other. Again, consistent with the reflection symmetry. We also have some sets of D6 brains that are parallel to these NS5 brains on the end. And finally, we have 8 half D6 brains that I'll talk more about in a moment. And they end on an NS5 brain that runs down the center of this orientifold 6 plane. Okay, so we have N D4 brains, NF pairs of D6 brains, and then 8 half D6 brains on the center there. Okay, so a few comments on this configuration. The orientifold 6 plane can carry either plus or minus 4 units of Ramon-Ramon charge. This is the same charge a D6 brain carries. For the plus 4 case, the orientifold projects us to a symplectic gauge symmetry on the world volume of a D6 brain. If we lift this to M theory, as Kentaro mentioned it in the previous talk, we get a D4 singularity. Now, this isn't a complete description of what this really means in M theory, because this is, you could ask why we can't blow this D4 singularity up. I'm not sure I have a complete understanding of that in general. For the minus 4 case, we project down to orthogonal gauge symmetry on the D6 brain world volume. And in M theory, this lifts to something like a D0 singularity, which we identify with a Atiyah-Hitchin space. Now, as discussed by Evans, Johnson, and Shapir, if we have an orientifold plane, if an orientifold plane crosses an NS5 brain, then consistency with field theory requires that the sign of the projection change. So in my chiral brain configuration, that's exactly what we had. So we see at this point where the 5 brain crosses the orientifold plane, we're going to get a discontinuity in the Ramon-Ramon charge. And the role of these 8 half D6 brains is to cancel that Ramon-Ramon charge. And that corresponds to the anomaly cancellation in the D brain, in the D brain gauge theory. Okay, so each of these half D6 brains gives rise to a fundamental chiral multiplet in the gauge theory. Okay, so if I lift this chiral brain configuration into M theory, then I can think of it for the purposes of this talk as an M5 brain that's intersecting a D4 singularity. So this brain configuration then gives rise to an SUN gauge theory with MF plus 8 fundamentals, MF anti-fundamentals, a symmetric bar chiral multiplet and an anti-symmetric chiral multiplet. So this is the matter content of a non-anomalous chiral gauge theory. So we can work out what the superpotential is by moving the brains around, essentially. The superpotential takes this form. We have this piece which breaks the flavor symmetry of these quarks down to SO8. So these are the 8 fundamentals coming from the half D6 brains. And the rotation of the outer 5 brains gives a mass to the adjoint chiral multiplet that would have been massless for an analogous n equals 2 theory. So integrating this adjoint chiral multiplet out gives rise to this term in the superpotential that is essentially inherited from the n equals 2 superpotential. To see how this q-hat, x tilde q-hat term arises, we can see that by moving the middle 5 brain in the x7 direction. So here I've plotted the plane of the orientifold 6 plane, and it's divided in 2 by this NS5 brain. And we have this change in the sign of the orientifold projection as we go across that NS5 brain. So for the chiral theory, all these D4 brains are passing through this NS5 brain. But if we move the NS5 brain off, then we see these quarks coming from the half D6 brains. We'll get a mass because there's some minimum distance there. Also, because the D4 brains are now passing through the orientifold plane at a point where we have the positive sign of the projection, the gauge group will be projected down from SUN to SON. So this X7 displacement is going to show up as some phi A Eliopoulos parameter that appears in the D-term equation. So you can see, depending on the sign of this phi A Eliopoulos parameter, either x tilde gets a VEV, in which case the gauge group breaks down to SON, consistent with the brain picture. So this corresponds to this baryonic operator getting a VEV. Or the phi A Eliopoulos parameter can have the opposite sign, and that corresponds to this picture where we move the NS5 brain in the opposite direction. So now the gauge group suffers the opposite projection down to SP, and the Q hats remain massless. And that agrees with that determines this term in the superpotential. Okay, so I've told you what our chiral gauge theory is. Now, I'd like to describe how you see the transition to the Cyberg dual of this electric theory. So we can just see the transition to the magnetic theory by moving the brains to their mirror image configuration. So I've moved the NS5 brain that was here across to here, and likewise with the other one. And I've moved the D6 brains right across the orientothal plane to the outside here. So whenever a D4 brain crosses, I assume a D4 brain is created whenever an NS5 brain crosses some non-parallel D6 brain. And I also need to tell you how I'm going to treat the orientothal 6 plane when I move an NS5 brain across it. So as far as the counting goes, because this plane just carries the same charge as four D6 brains, I'll just treat the counting in the same way as four D6 brains as far as this D4 brain creation goes. And if you carefully go through the counting, you find you wind up with an SU3MF minus NC plus 4 gauge theory. And again, with this same matter content. So now we get a slightly different superpotential with various meson fields included. So since this is a non-trivial deformation of this Cyberg dual considered by Introligator Lee and Strassler, we went through and explicitly checked the Atuft anomaly matching conditions and the correspondence of the dual theories for some simple superpotential deformations in various flat directions. And that confirms the brain prediction for the magnetic dual. So finally, I'd like to briefly mention how we determine the curve for this chiral theory. And I'll take a scenic route to illustrate some of the other things we derived along the way. So we can begin by constructing some new curves for n equals 2 gauge theories with SUN gauge symmetry and some 2-index tensor and some fundamental hypers. So the brain configuration corresponding to that gauge theory is illustrated here. We have an orientothal 6 plane in the middle. And for the symmetric case, that takes the positive projection. We have some set of D6 brains and D4 brains, and then just parallel NS5 brains there. So the curve describing that configuration corresponds to this Riemann surface embedded in this DN space, this deformed DN space. And I've defined these functions here. So the mass of the symmetric enters into the curve, and likewise the masses of the fundamentals are defined by this relation. So it's straightforward to rotate this curve to break down to n equals 1 supersymmetry, and we do that just by, let's see, so we put all the D6 brains on the orientifold 6 brain for simplicity, and then just rotate the outer 5 brains. Okay, so that'll give us n equals 1 SUN with a symmetric flavor and fundamental flavors. And the curve is described by in parametric form by this this set of equations. So in general, we can derive this for some non-trivial mass for the symmetric flavor. If we take this mass to zero, though, we find that the central 5 brain, which is described by this pole at lambda equals zero in V, disappears from this component of the curve, and we get a disconnected component at W equals zero. So the way to get the chiral theory is just to take this disconnected component and rotate it by 90 degrees so that it becomes a V equals zero component. So that then is the curve for the chiral theory. We now have this NS5 brain that's parallel to the O6 brain and intersecting it. So the final picture we have for the brain configuration is this. We have an O6 plane that's divided in two by this central NS5 brain, and then some D4 brains ending on some NS5 brains that have been rotated. Okay, so we have two NF D6 brains parallel to the orientifold plane and these eight half D6 brains. So the flavor symmetry is going to take this form. We can think of all the D6 brain splitting on this NS brain, which gives rise to a left and a right flavor symmetry group, which is determined by the appropriate projection of the orientifold plane. And again, we can work out what the tree level superpotential is for this configuration, and it takes this form. Okay, so just to conclude, we have a nice example of a chiral gauge theory from brains, and the brain realization allows us to read off the Seiberg duality and determine the moduli space of the theory using the curve. We've also found many new results for non-chiral n equals 1 theories and n equals 2 gauge theories as well. So we're perhaps a small step closer to understanding phenomenologically interesting gauge theories using brains. Okay, thank you.
So we have time for questions. Well, I have one question. It's quite natural to get chirality out of, say, heterotic strings compactified on a Calabi-Yau.
Yeah.
Do you yet see any way to relate this, maybe via F theory, to that case?
Let's see. Well, the nice thing about this construction is that you can learn something non-perturbative about the chiral theory. So, let's see, I don't see any direct way to map the a typical heterotic string vacuum to some brain configuration, if that's what you're asking. But
are there any further questions? If not, then let's thank David again.